Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is an amazing thing, a miraculous thing that we are professing to believe in today, Father. That your Son took on human flesh, walked among us, died, and then rose again from the dead. Father, please help us to understand even further the depths of the reality of what had happened. And that, Lord, this is also rooted in historical evidence as your Son broke in to our human history. And what a glorious thing that means for us. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, when you think of the text today in 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul says that over 500 people at one time saw Jesus appear after his death. 500 people at one time. Someone who could skeptically say, well, you know, there's hundreds of people who claim to have seen UFOs in the sky. What are we going to do with that? Well, I would tell you that, yeah, hundreds of people have seen UFOs in the sky. And generally speaking, about 99% of the time, there's a scientific explanation for what they saw. And it's not life from another planet. There are people who will say, they'll say that the Bible is a work of fiction. I remember one person even telling me that they would compare the Bible to J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter. Now, I'm not a critic of Harry Potter. In fact, I like the books. I've read all of them. And it's kind of funny when you read book 7, how the bad guy gets defeated. And even the author, J.K. Rowling, will say that she was inspired by what she learned in church. I'm not going to spoil that for you in case you haven't read the books. But it could be that the story of Easter played a role in inspiring how she solved the main problem in her series. In fact, a lot of people who tell stories and make movies center around a guy dying to save everybody else. Why is this so deeply rooted and ingrained in us? Why is it that every major religion that has come about since Christianity, that is not from the eastern part of the nation, but has its roots somewhere considered, you know, in the West. So basically, kind of from, you know, let's say the west of Israel. Why has every major religion that come across this deal with the person of Jesus? In one of the biblical texts, in Matthew especially, we see that the Jewish authorities, they go to Pontius Pilate and they say, can you please put a guard on your tomb? Because Jesus' followers are going to claim that he rose again from the dead. And then, of course, when the soldiers came and reported to the Jews what happened, they paid the soldiers off and say, please say that from now on, say that the disciples stole the body. So some religions deal with this and say the resurrection was a lie. Islam says that Jesus was real, that he was a prophet of great power, his miracles were all true, but God cloned him, and the clone died on the cross. But the real Jesus didn't die. Furthermore, they say that the Jesus who didn't die is going to return again. That's part of what they teach. In fact, the radical group of ISIS was believing that they were bringing back his coming quicker in the violence that they took against people. That was one of the things that they believed. Mormons claim a hold of Jesus. We don't go with them because they change up how they believe. What they believe about God isn't true, it doesn't hold up with the scriptures, but Mormons take hold of him. Same with Jehovah's Witnesses. Jews who remain Jews but learn that Christ is the Messiah that was promised will say they were told not to read about this book because it's just a book about how to persecute Christian or how to persecute Jews, and that Jesus is a Catholic person. And they come to find out that, wow, he was actually a Jew that came to save them, and that Jews were the first people to share about him. Josephus was a historian who was a non-biblical historian who wrote about that area of time. And he said, around this time in the Roman Empire, in a country called Palestine, there was a prophet mighty in power named Jesus of Nazareth. His disciples believed that he rose again from the dead. The question is not, did Jesus Christ exist? The question is not, is Jesus of Nazareth real? The question is, who do you say that Jesus is? Because even if a bunch of people saw a spaceship crash in Roswell, that doesn't change the fact that Christ's followers saw him die on a cross and saw him alive again after he was dead. Everybody has to deal with the question, who is Jesus? If you have any skin in the game, if you care at all about truth, if you care all about history, then you have to answer this question. One of my favorite theologians, he's not Lutheran, but he's still pretty, his sermons and his teachings and his lectures are real strong. His name is the Reverend Dr. Bodie Bachman. And I saw a recorded lecture that he gave to college students to help them see and learn exactly what the Bible is. And he said, how many of you have been in that situation where your professor taught you something that was contrary to what the Bible said, and you raised your hand, and you said, but I believe this because the Bible says this. And your professor then asks you, what is the Bible? And you say, well, I believe it's the Word of God. And then your professor attacks you and makes you feel like you're stupid. He instead teaches them to say this instead. When you are asked what you believe the Bible is, you tell them it is an account of different accounts all put together, historical accounts that were written down while by witnesses who saw these things and they were alive while other witnesses saw these things. And so therefore, that might not make the professor think that, it might not change the professor's mind about what the Bible is, but they'll at least know that your faith is not, that they can't sit there and tell you that Jesus is in the same book of, they don't want to ruin that for kids, never mind. But Jesus isn't, you can't say that Jesus is Harry Potter, okay? We'll go there, since we talked about J.K. Rowling's book earlier. The church in Corinth was having a lot of issues. They were steeped in sin. Paul had first gone to the church in Corinth and shared this gospel. this good news of Christ being risen from the dead with them. And when he went back to them, or he wrote this letter because he had heard a lot of news, there was division, there were struggles, and the teaching got out that many of them were abandoning belief in the resurrection of Jesus. And so Paul writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain." Now this is written about 55 AD that Paul is writing this letter. Some sources even might say it's even a little bit earlier that he wrote this. Jesus rose from the dead around 32-33 AD. So this is about 13 years after the resurrection. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." And when he talks about Scriptures, the New Testament was actually just being written down. Paul didn't realize that his letter would be considered Scripture at that time, inspired by God as it was. So he's talking about the Old Testament, the scrolls from Genesis to Malachi. And he's talking about how these point to the fact that the Messiah had to die and then rise again. In accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, which is another name for Peter. We read that account. He did appear to Peter. Then he appeared then to the 12. Now, you might say, well, wait a second. Does Judas count as the 12? He was hung. Uh-oh, this isn't true. Well, if you also read in the book of Acts, they replaced Judas in chapter 1. And they held up two guys there who were witnesses to the resurrection, and they cast lots to see which one would take place, would take Judas's place. So Jesus did indeed appear to those who would be considered the new 12, not counting Judas. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, and though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and in his grace towards me was not in vain. Here is the other thing that is so neat about the Scriptures. The writers of the God, the witnesses who wrote down what they saw, they did not make God's people seem like they were holy and pure the whole time. We see people who were flawed, who were sinners, who were scared, who were fearful. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Where do we get that story? The Scriptures. You know what church history and tradition teaches? When Peter died, he died the same exact death that Jesus went through. He was hung on a cross, except he said, "I am unworthy to hang in the same manner." So they hung him upside down. What made the man who denied Jesus 3 times be willing to be hung upside down on a cross and to preach this message? Paul. Let's go back to Paul, because Paul is talking about himself. He says that he is the least of these because he persecuted the church. In the book of Acts, he was there holding the coats of men who were stoning a Christian named Stephen. He sought to arrest Christians. He thought he was glorifying God in persecuting this new group of Jews that called themselves the Way, the because they call themselves the way, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many of you know someone who, like, if you told them the sky was blue, they would say that it was actually green because they just wouldn't disagree with you no matter what. There's just no convincing them of anything. People are like that. No matter what you say to them, they don't change. And yet we still argue on Facebook all the time. I don't get it. People do not change their minds unless something incredible happens and that they see it, witness something for themselves. And sometimes then it's even hard for them to change their minds. Paul went from thinking he was righteously persecuting the church to then now he is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, saying that it is the truth. What happened? On his way to persecute Christians on the road to Damascus, in the book of Acts, again, he was on his way to arrest more Christians. It said that his name was Saul, and the text said that he was breathing out hatred towards those who were following Christ. He gets blinded as a bright light comes to him, and he hears the voice of Jesus saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And of course, Saul, who would become Paul, finds out that that voice belongs to who? Jesus. Last of all, he appeared to me, Paul says. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have been to college. I have never partaken in any mind-altering drugs, and that is the God's honest truth. And if you have, there's grace and forgiveness. This isn't about righteousness. But I have talked to people who have dropped acid and things like that. And they've said that they've seen some weird stuff and they've done it. But they've never all seen the same thing. When 500 people give the same testimony that they saw something, that's pretty clear evidence that they all saw it. And they didn't change and deviate from their testimonies. There's four different gospels written at different times. And yes, there might be some nuances in what was focused on and emphasized. But every single one of them has Jesus performing miracles and teaching the truth and dying on a cross and rising again from the dead. This is why people attack the scriptures. Because when you actually look at what they were meant to be and a historical account that points to our Savior, they try to attack it and they change the dates and they say that, oh, the Emperor Constantine in Rome, he converted to Christianity because that was the popular thing to do at the time. And then he changed all the translations of the scriptures in the Bible. All this kind of, look, it wasn't 1984 then, and George Orwell hadn't written that book yet, okay? There was already, at the time that Constantine was the Roman emperor, the Bible was already being translated from Greek and Hebrew into different languages in other nations. Constantine didn't have time to go and alter every single manuscript, like they say. That was impossible. We didn't have the age of Facebook, Google, and all those kinds of things back then even too, where truth can be easily suppressed today and with search engines and all that kind of stuff. We're not dealing with conspiracy here. We're dealing with people who saw and believed and shared and wrote down their testimony. Now, why do you believe? Why are you able to believe? Yes, it does take faith. There are people in our nation that believe all sorts of crazy things. But we are able to believe because the Holy Spirit has come and has called you into faith. None can say that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. So you have been called to believe, and yes, that is why it does take faith. It doesn't matter the apologetics, the proof, whatever I say. Anything that I said previous to that, there's going to be someone who will try to come and attack what I said and say, you're just biased because you're a pastor. We do have faith. And we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But we have faith and a testimony. And the man named Jesus is real. And I'm sorry, but your ignorance at best is showing if you question that Jesus ever existed. At best, you're ignorant. At worst, you're lying and you are evil in your lies. The man Jesus existed. Who do you say Jesus is? C.S. Lewis said, if Christianity is false, it is of no importance. But if true, it is of ultimate importance. What it is not is of moderate importance. It either is or it isn't. Paul wrote this letter to remind the Corinthians that Christ did rise from the dead. Because if Christ had not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. The greatest proof that there is a God is the fact that the tomb was empty. And who does Jesus say he and who did Jesus say he was? And what did he say he was going to do? Jesus said numerous times, I am the Son of Man, I am the Son of God. He said that. And he said numerous times, 3 times in the book of Mark, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of men. He must die. And on the third day, rise again. Confronted by the Pharisees, he said, give us a sign. He said, destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. He talked about his body. Not the holy temple in Jerusalem, but his body. He said, no sign would be given except for the sign of Jonah. That just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish, so the Son of Man must spend 3 days in a tomb. He predicted his death, and it came true. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And you can call me a fool for that, and I'm fine. But I also am going to know that you're a little bit more foolish than I am. Because 500 people who saw Jesus alive at one time were not lying. Paul, who changed his mind and followed Jesus, was not lying. Peter, who was afraid to go to the cross, but then willingly preached the word, even though he knew it would mean that he was going to die for it, continued to preach the gospel, to be hung on a cross himself. Have you seen that book in your Bible called the Book of James? It wasn't written by James, the brother of John. That was written by James, son of Mary, half-brother of Jesus. You know what? He didn't believe before his brother was crucified. He believed after his brother rose again from the dead. There is grace and there is truth. And they center around Jesus Christ. And what does this mean for you? It means that you who believe before God, you are forgiven all of your sins. And just as Christ rose from the dead to show that life is eternal through him, so you also have eternal life because you believe. O death, where is your sting? We live because Jesus Christ lives.
and he shares his victory over the grave with us. Amen?
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.